Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Free Mafia Land. It's me, your host, Wayne Klingman, with probably the most important radio show you will hear in the year 2020. Yes, on the line with me, we have with us today not only a leader of the BBC, we hear he's invented all the good shows you've ever seen in the BBC, but he has started a cartoon, a great cartoon, using the fantastic history of the firm and other great people of English crime history to educate us a little bit, have us have a lot of fun, which is more importantly, I think, we have, of course, he himself, the god of all things of Scotland. We mean, of course, Ian Brown. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you for inviting me on. I have to immediately say, I think you were slightly building me up there a bit. I don't think I can take the credit for all great things on the BBC or indeed all great things on television, but that's very good of you. Thanks.
Well, you know, I could have said that we could have blamed you for all the bad things on TV and could have had a crowd of pitchforks outside your home, but I'd rather say you do all the good stuff on the BBC.
I have done
all the good stuff.
I have.
Sir?
Few bad things too, I'm afraid. But, it's very good.
That's very nice. That's life in the big city. But anyway, how do you get involved in media?
How long? Well, crikey, I started out as a journalist, and over here in the UK, that meant being on what we would call local papers here. So, you know, regional town newspapers that cover a town and a bit beyond. And for that, I covered quite a lot of stuff. You know, I would cover quite a lot of crime, actually, because we would cover all the courts, like Coroner's Court, Crown Court, Magistrates Court we have over here. I'd also cover sort of if there were robberies or anything like that, I remember going out to sort of post office robberies way back when. And before, dare I say, the days of mobiles and Google and the internet and even computers. So I'd have to find a public telephone, call the office, and dictate the story over the phone about an arms heist on a post office or something out in the wilds of the country somewhere. So that's how I started. Then I was lucky enough to get into sort of documentary and news programs sort of around in the London area on TV. And then I moved more into sort of entertainment TV, actually. But I've been working in TV now for more than 25 years, working mainly now as a writer. And then, as you say, and I worked on, you know, some quite big shows. You guys would know sort of the car show Top Gear and the Grand Tour. So I worked with those guys for, I don't know, about 17 years, something like that, helping to set up big shoots and stunts and things like that. And then I got into what you just mentioned, which is sort of animation. I was very lucky to be working on a show which started in America. Actually, it used to be fronted by a guy called Ralph Edwards over there, a show called This Is Your Life, which is like a tribute show to celebrities generally over there. And we had that over here, a UK version of it with our own presenter. And I worked on that show for nearly 15, 16 years. And on one of the shows, we paid tribute to the guru of American Idol and America's Got Talent, Simon Cowell. And you may or may not know that he has appeared, or his character has appeared, I think about 3 or 4 times on The Simpsons. And we got in touch with the guys at The Simpsons, Al Jean, the showrunner and such like, and they agreed to do a special animation of Homer giving a message to Simon Cowell. And so they just said, well, do you want to write something? So I said, well, yeah, I'll have a go. And I had a go at writing something for Homer Simpson, and they loved it, and they animated it and did it, and it went out, and it was a huge hit. And that kind of got me really excited about animation. I've always been a fan of animation, and I just wanted to get into animation. And I teamed up with a great animation director called Owen Clark, who's won loads of awards over here, and a few other guys, our sound recordist, Paul Richmond. I should just say it's a legal requirement, otherwise they break my kneecaps if I don't mention their names. I've got, as our sound recordist, Paul Richmond, and we've got a couple of great musicians as well who do all our stupid songs, our theme tune, all that sort of thing. That's Stig Winslet and Pete Harbour. And teamed up with these guys, and we started to make these cartoons about a couple of sort of London villains that you guys would probably know from way back, you know, like in the 60s and such, right? There was the notorious, the Crabbe twins. And they're a little bit like that, but then obviously they're present day. They're not set in the 60s. So they're a little bit like the Crabbe twins. They're a little bit like, a UK version of The Sopranos, The Goodfellas, whatever you want to call it. And the sort of the sell is that they're trying to mend their ways. They're trying not to be bad boys anymore. So they've moved out to a slightly more leafy suburb in a county over here called Essex, which is northeast of London. And it's sort of notorious for that sort of where people move to with that sort of background a little bit. And we just have great fun with it, you know, and we've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. And it's luckily it continues to grow. And we've got some amazing fans. We've got some great fans in the US, I have to say. You know, I've heard from, you know, the wonder of the internet now. You hear from all over the world with people who have taken to it, who like it. And indeed, that includes yourself, Wayne. It's amazing, you know, to hear from you guys and realize that these crazy cartoons we're doing are spreading all over the world.
I think your cartoon is absolutely wonderful. And for those people who might be brain dead or getting out of San Quentin from 20 years, where can we find your cartoon at?
Okay, well, it's the easiest thing. We have a mothership website, which is called thebruvs.com, thebruvs.com. And then all our other social stuff is at thebruvs TV, which is the Bruvs, B-R-U-V for Victor, S, TV. So, it's all there. Cartoons, memes, GIFs, jokes, gags, hopefully, that are funny and that travel. And we try to be topical here and there. There are various things we never touch. We don't touch politics, and we don't really touch team sports because we don't want to upset the people we don't mention, if that makes sense. It's sort of like, whoever you have to make a joke about, you cannot win in those two subjects. So we kind of don't go down that road. But it's great.
But
I have to say that what we have got is, I think, although we're sort of, you know, having a laugh, but our first cartoon, which is called Dentist, which is up on our website and such like, shows exactly how violent these guys can be. I mean, it's done in a cartoon way, so it's kind of like Family Guy, American Dad. It's kind of like The Simpsons, but obviously a UK version of it. But there is a episode called Dentist. We just wanted to establish that when these guys mean business, they mean business. And so that episode is out there. And as a result, we've amazingly attracted a lot of fans of sort of the crime genre, whether it's here in the UK or worldwide, you know. So hence yourself, Wayne, and your associates and such like. It's amazing that we've drawn in all these people. And in fact, amongst our fan base, there are some genuinely hard criminals from the UK that are sort of who have liked the page on Facebook and who follow us on Twitter. And, you know, we really don't want to cross them, but they are genuine. You know, they're the real deal over here. You know, it's quite something. And amazingly, they actually look like the characters as well. And I think they get it. You know, they do understand that they look like them because people point it out to them. You know, we often see posts where it's going, hey, so, you know, hey, Razor, so-and-so, whoever it might be. You look just like this character in The Bruvs, you know. And there's a great character, in fact, who he sort of, again, he's mended his way. He runs these amazing sort of gangster tours around the East End of London, which is obviously...
Mickey Goldtooth, right?
That's the guy. That's the guy. Yeah. So he's, you know, I'd never heard of him. I'd never come across him. Jump forward 70 years that we've been doing The Bruvs, and he is the spitting image of one of our characters, even with the gold tooth in the same place. It's unbelievable. You know, so, you know, obviously someone spotted our character and linked him into us, And he's a great supporter now. It's amazing. You know, it's just so it's just a joy to see all that, you know.
You have something going on. And one thing I can say about your cartoon is we all know it's a cartoon. We all can get enjoyment from the story that the guys go through, right? I think they're funny, right? No one's taking your cartoon saying we all need to go out today and become gangsters. People are getting enjoyment from the comical aspects of it. And there's a lot of comical aspects of organized crime. Even when I read about the craze, I'm no expert, to think that Reggie got by with so much crazy shit. You know?
That's true. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, in a sense, what we do with our cartoons is we exaggerate all that, and then it becomes a bit funny. You know, it's, I have to say that, you know, I really like, I suppose you'd call it like dark comedy, but it has to be, which also, you know, does veer towards probably violent comedy, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But that, you found that in things like, you know, in Scorsese's films, you find it. You know, it's sort of, it's that thin line between what's absolutely terrifying with what these guys might do to you and how it's actually sort of, I find it funny what these guys might do to you, you know, as well. Sopranos, it's in all sorts of things.
Absolutely. I mean, in my own life, a couple of years ago, I went through absolutely, my family, my wife and I went through absolute hell with some roofers. It'd be hard to do a roof repair, right? And mm-hmm. I would be less than human if I didn't think for a moment. It'd be so much fun if I could call Tony Soprano up and say, Tony, and we'd have to be friends, but say, Tony, my roofer's screwing me over. Can you do something? And have, you know, one of the Sopranos crew throw them off the roof, right?
Yeah.
But listen, that's the thing, because it's fantasy, it's enjoyment, it's comedy. You know, we do that. Same thing with Guy. I love Guy Ritchie films. You know, my wife and I plan to see his latest release, I think, next week, which is on a schedule. I'm looking forward to it. I like rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good fun. And you do that so well. And I think, and again, my own case, because I see your cartoons, I'm always interested in learning more about how organized crime differed in England than it did in the United States.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not an expert, I have to say, but I mean, I didn't really cover organized crime, but as I say, I did cover a lot of court cases and a lot of crime over here. I think what's happened now over here, to bring it right up to date, is that, and it may well, I'm sure it's probably the case in America as well, to a certain extent, is that the more traditional sort of families that used to run things, whether it be London or Glasgow or wherever, you know, there was sort of gang crime. I think a lot of that has now switched, the power has switched now to sort of Eastern European gangs that have come over from places like Albania and such like. And it's a different story over here now. You know, it's, I think where there was, you know, a lot of people say there was a lot of honor with the craze. I mean, that's, it's debatable. You know, they never hurt their own kind. They loved their mum, all that sort of thing. It's very debatable, and it's a sort of a tricky subject to go into. And I'm not an expert, as it were. But I think it is very different now with the kind of gangs that are over here now running things like, you know, people trafficking and drugs and such like around London and other cities. It's nastier and murkier, put it like that, I suspect. And I think the police struggle with it, you know, because it's a whole new code of practice, it's a whole new style of doing things, and the police have really had to play catch up as these new sort of gangs have come over, taken over territory and such like, because it's still going on over there. I mean, it goes on everywhere, doesn't it? Wherever there's people, there will be crime, and they will make money out of stuff. So it's the same old story, but it is different now over here, certainly.
Right, same thing here. Here, well, the drugs are sweeping this country. you know, it's hellacious. I mean, the number of or crime, gun number of drug deaths is quickly spilling out of anybody's possible imagination. And back in the day, say the 50s and 60s, I may never know that my neighbor is a member of the mafia, right? Because if I don't interact with him on that subject, I'll never know, right? Here, some of these drug gangs have no qualms at all and saying, I want to use your car. I will use your business. You do not have a choice. And I suspect the same way with some of the Eastern European gangs, especially with human trafficking. I mean, I read situations where they're actually kidnapping people off the street so they can try to use them as strippers. That's beyond my imagination.
Yeah, well, as I was saying, I just think it's a whole different code. It's a different level of crime. You know, it's kind of whatever goes, you know, kind of thing. And if they can get away with it, they get away with it. And it must be very difficult to police. You know, I don't know how they, whatever country it's happening in, I don't know how they do it. You know, it's a difficult thing. But it's pretty. It's troubling, but luckily, you know, I live in London. I live in a part of London that, you know, has a lot of crime. You know, I know that American newspapers and news channels don't sort of cover international news, you know, as much as we do probably over here. But you know, there is a lot of crime still going on in London. But equally, you know, people go around their everyday business. You know, it's not something you see all. It's not littering the streets, as it were. What's going on? But clearly, there is stuff going on. And I'm not trying to put off any tourists. Put it like that. You know, it's still a good place to come.
It's right. It's like Chicago. I live 25 miles north of Chicago, and I Twitter reads a Chicago police scanner, right? And of course, it reports not the kid helping grandma cross the street, but it reports the two thugs that attack grandma, right? But again, Chicago, if you're careful, it's like London. If you're careful, if you're aware of your situation, you know where you're gonna go, all the things we look out for, like anybody would do. You're pretty out. You know, bad stuff is happening. It can happen. It's like in London. It's like in Berlin. But if you're aware, the odds are less than it would be if you're walking down the street 2 a.m. drunk or causing trouble, because then trouble will find you. There's no doubt about that. But enough on crime. Let's talk about cartoons. How long does it take you to create an episode?
Well, if we were to be really put under the cosh to turn one out, I guess we could do it in about, and it's probably going to shock you, about like 6 weeks, something like that, from having an idea to developing. They're very short, but we have to develop the script. I kind of write something to start with, and then we get together and we knock it about a bit. And in the early days, I would write all this very ambitious stuff, you know, thinking, well, not realizing what was involved with animation. To put that into sort of layman's terms, if you go see a film like, you know, the Lion King, or you go see any other big animation, or even watch The Simpsons or Family Guy on TV, the credits go on forever. You know, there are hundreds of people working on there. We are five people, and only one of them actually does the animation. So it's quite something to be getting away with it, as we are, in a way. But it is very time-consuming and labor-intensive. So I used to write stuff, and I'd take it to Owen, our animation director, and he'd say, well, how, you know, this is going to take 6 years to make, sort of thing. So instead of maybe instead of having a zombie apocalypse happen, why don't we just talk about, why don't we say, whoa, that was some zombie apocalypse that just happened, you know, sort of thing, and talk about it rather than show it. And so I've learned that very quickly, that, you know, there's ways round things, but little shortcuts. And also now we're in a bit of a groove with it. We, certainly with the two lead characters, Doug and Dan Braff, who are these sort of villain brothers who wreak havoc wherever they go. Owen now, in his machinery, in his armory of machinery, he has sort of all their facial positions. He has all their jaw positions for every, you know, syllable, vowel, everything that they could possibly say, do, express. It's all in there. So he can kind of find them and place them quite quickly. But that said, it's still a very, you know, labor-intensive, time-consuming thing. It just takes ages. But it, you know, we trust each other. I trust him. Once it's all sorted, we've done the voiceover, recorded all that, settled on it. If we have music, the guys go away and sort the music. And it all just sort of comes together. And it's brilliant to see it, because it's unlike traditional filmmaking or TV making, which is what I did for years, have done for years and still do, where you're kind of either seeing the stuff as it happens, or seeing the action as it happens, or you're seeing it in an edit suite for ages, you know, trimming it down and making it work as a program. Here, you don't see anything until it's kind of the finished product. And it's amazing for me to see what was an idea suddenly come to, well, not suddenly as it turns out, but it comes to life. And it's brilliant. I'm as thrilled as I hope the viewers are when they see it. You know, it's just great to see it come to life.
I think the creative process, be it a film or an animated film, is absolutely a fantastic thing to see. It's a lot of work. It's long hours, low paying, lots of stress, right? But yeah, when it all comes together, when people walk into the theater or watch it on their TV monitor at home or say, right, it's a joy to behold.
Absolutely. It's I've been a very lucky guy, and I've, you know, done a lot of work over the years, a lot of shows and a lot of screen time and such like, and I'm still excited by it. You know, it's a great job to have. You know, that said, getting a bit serious maybe, because I'm an old what's it now in the business, I get invited to sort of talk to younger people now at college or wherever who are trying to get into the business, whatever it is. There's a lot of sort of different media opportunities now, and I get invited along to talk about things. And I'm quite a realist, you know. As you said, it's a tough world now, and it's a very tough world to get into now, wherever you are in the world. You know, the idea of I'll film it on my phone and put it on YouTube and I'll make my fortune, it kind of doesn't work like that now. I mean, I think, you know, for some it does, but it's a very rare thing that to happen. And equally, getting into a company now, a production company or a studio or wherever, it is very tough. You know, there must be 20, 30 people in each class of each media course at these colleges. That's just in one college. There are hundreds of colleges. There are hundreds of courses, thousands of students, all doing the same thing, all wanting to work in TV or the media in some way. It's very tough. You know, there's a lot of people out there. You end up, I don't know, would you call someone, a very junior person, a runner over there? We call it runners.
Sure,
here.
That's
a very junior, you know, so that's, I always say to people, you've got to be prepared to work as a runner on no pay for at least 6 to 9 months, sadly. If you get to that point and you're not really making your mark, you might want to think again, you know, switch career, switch whatever. So it's, you know, I'm just a bit realistic. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to crush dreams or hopes or aspirations, but it's, as you say, it's quite it's a tough world now, you know, and to get into. And making your mark is difficult now, you know, and also knowing what you want to do. I'm not sure I'd like to be starting out now, because there's just so much choice now of what you could do. You know, as I say, you know, you've got YouTube, you've got all these platforms, and all the streaming channels are changing the shape of modern television and modern filmmaking. You know, Netflix, Amazon, they're all powerful. You've got Quibi now and Disney Plus and all these things with loads and loads of money, and they're just tearing up the rules. You know, they're signing up writers, directors exclusively, for 3 years, for $50 million or whatever, and they're just not available for other channels or anywhere else. You know, they're just tied up. So it's quite something. You know, that said, I'm completely available. I will take anybody's call if they want to call me and tie me up for 3 years.
Let's
more than happy.
How do we get a hold of you online? How do we get a hold of you online, sir?
More than happy to take the call. I'll even accept a reverse charge call. A collect call.
Oh, don't say that. If you're Guy Ritchie, we can call you. He can call you collect, right? Us, not me, not so much.
He sure can. He sure can. He can even throw a brick. He can throw a brick with a note round it through my window. I don't care. I'll take the call.
Yeah, I hear that one. We need to find out, where can we find you online again? Because we have to make sure people can do that.
Sure. Okay. It's called thebruvs.com. And on social media, we're all over it, Instagram, Twitter, everything. We're at thebruvstv.
And that would be the best way to get a hold of you. LinkedIn email would be able to be found there.
I'm not part of that, I'm afraid. But you get me on all those things. There's contact details at thebruvs.com.
Okay.
And you can get in touch with us there.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, I'm going to go back to what you're talking about, opportunities in media, right? I'm 60-something years old, 62, right? I've been playing indie film for, long time, right? Most of the indie film projects I've been on, like I played a drunk, dead guy, stuff like that, right? Never got seen because dumb at things. Didn't get releases, right? No, you get your releases from your actors because if you don't, you can't screw it. I was in a production that was me for Showtime, and they wrote the site that they used, the site they rented, a bad check. So it went south very, very quickly, right? But only when I became guide in my late 50s did we do my documentary, a low-budgeted thing that we shot for YouTube on our local mafia guy in Milwaukee, right? And put it on YouTube and Amazon Prime. Two things happened. One, a lot of people watched it, and two, we got paid. We got paid greatly. Thank you. Because YouTube pays, when you get the subscriber base on the YouTube channel we put on, he had quite the subscriber base. We got 6 cents an hour for every hour watch, right? Same thing with Amazon Prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And people watch it, even though we got more hate than you can even. I didn't know that Frank up in Milwaukee not only had so many friends, but so many friends are still alive, and so many friends who've seen this documentary and went out of the way to put hate on me, right? Obviously, the people want hate. That's what they want to do, kids in basements, right? But yet, they had to pay me. I may have gotten 6 or 8.5 cents, but I got paid, and that money adds up. What people aren't realizing is that if they can create a product and develop a fan base, get the fans to watch it, they too can get paid. They don't have to get their things shown on TV. They don't have to get their things shown in the local movie theater. There's ways to get paid for what they create. And most young filmmakers, I'm on a soapbox, I apologize. Most young filmmakers don't understand they have multiple streams of revenue. They have what they've created as an inside TV show, right? They have the T-shirt product. They don't get it. But again, because they get told, because they read the stuff in magazines or watch some type of TV show, that, you know, they make a product, somebody from Walt Disney will show up, write them a check for a gazillion dollars, and next thing they know, they're getting Oscars. We both know it's worked that way, but there's yet opportunities, at least in my opinion.
It does not. I mean, I've got loads of contacts over the years, and I got lots of meetings still, but so very few ideas go anywhere.
Yep.
You know, there's great resistance. The TV stations, really, and I understand it. There's a huge amount of money involved, so it's a huge amount of risk. And particularly in comedy, which I've kind of found myself working in now a bit more, is comedy. And the idea of a traditional sort of sitcom, you know, like Friends or something like that over here, is just, it's dead in the water here now. You know, there's barely a sitcom on UK TV. What does well are the sort of channels and the streaming things you can do, catch up and all that sort of thing, where they're doing reruns of old shows.
Okay.
You know, like Netflix found that with Friends. Netflix paid a fortune for Friends, and it paid them handsomely. You know, people wanted to watch Friends still, and a whole new audience came and watched Friends. There was a lot of people who quibbled at it because it obviously some of the sensibilities in it were dated. You know, maybe it was a bit sexist here and there. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that, people said. But it got huge figures for Netflix, didn't it, the old shows? And that's the same over here. You know, we've got various channels over here. They're called sort of like Gold and things like that. But, you know, they're sort of like great shows.
Are you familiar with something called Roku?
No, I don't think so. Don't know that
Roku
one.
Is a streaming service. It's big in the United States. I would assume it can be all over the world, but I don't know that. You have to do research on that. But Roku does the Netflix idea, not the YouTube idea, which is that for every commercial somebody watches, you get paid a fraction of a penny, depending, right? What's been
right.
a big thing up here that's worked for more than one person I know is they'll get access to public domain shows, and they create a show around it, right? Like they have somebody
right.
dress up as Dracula and talk about an old public domain horror film, right? And
oh,
I know
right.
more
yeah.
than one person. What? I hear you, sir.
Hello? Yeah, yeah, hello.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
Yeah, okay. Carry on. Carry on.
Yep. I don't know. I seem to be able to hear him. I don't know necessarily he can hear me. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, I can hear you. I hear you.
Outstanding. Sorry about that. But, yeah. I mean,
okay.
I mean, Roku is something I would suggest people look into, especially yourself with so
right.
much creative content. So, anyway.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
How many shows do you plan to do in a year? What's your average?
Well, we do about 5 or 6, we hope, which doesn't sound a huge amount, but as I say, it takes time, and we have to do sort of day jobs to pay the bills, so that takes us away from stuff every now and then. What we do is we supplement that, because we also have sort of audio versions of some of the shows, so therefore we've created like audio, you know, podcast audio sketches on SoundCloud. We have a site there as well, so people can get. And we make more of those each year. You know, we do a lot of quite a lot of audio sketches using all the same characters,
sure.
but we don't have time to animate all that stuff. It's our hopes that we will get to a position where we can animate everything we churn out, and we also do sort of more basic versions of the cartoons, sometimes using still images and whatever, just to give an idea of what a film might look like if it was all put together. So we do sort of varying levels of the shows now. As I say, we do audio versions, which are also getting longer, and we're able to develop the characters more and the storylines more and such like. And then we do sort of very basic animations, but full-on films. We do about 5 or 6 a year, and they do us very well. You know, we did one for Christmas. We did one amazing Halloween over here in the UK now is a huge deal, obviously, as is Christmas. But Halloween has become a big thing here, and one of our biggest things last year was we did a music video with the characters based around a song called Brick or Treat. So obviously the main characters go out trick or treating, but they take a brick with them to threaten all their neighbors to hand over goodies or they'll smash them up. And it was a huge hit, you know, like people in America really took to it. So Brick or Treat was a big deal for us. So, you know, we put out what we can as soon as we're ready and as quickly as we can, but we always want it to be as good as it can be as well. So we work hard on it, and we don't rush things.
No, thank you for not rushing things, because obviously we want to see the best that we possibly can get, and we know that good stuff takes time. Now, I have my iPhone, right, which I then use iTunes to find podcasts. Can I find the Bruce, if I may call it a podcast, on Apple?
Not on Apple. We're on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud,
and the
okay.
link is at our, yeah, and the link is on our website as well, thebruvs.com. And it's also on our Twitter and such like. But it's just there. If you type in the Bruvs, THEBRUVS, all these things come up now. Google kind of throws them all up at you.
Because I love to hear the audio content. I think that would be a coot, to say the least. I suspect that if, say, a casino in Vegas, or let's say a casino in Vegas, wanted to sponsor our Bruce series, like 4 or 5 cartoons about the Bruce coming to Vegas, that could be possible with a really big enough check, correct?
Absolutely. We would do anything. We can even go sort of retrospectively. We can revisit the cartoons, and we can put in products if people wanted. You know, we have we can drop in phones, we can drop in drinks, we can drop in anything. You know, exactly the same way as movies do now. you know, we're open to anything, really. We can do anything. Yeah, because it's all, I mean, if you think about the way a cartoon is made, all the, everything that you see in a cartoon is all done on different layers. So you can always revisit them, peel back certain layers, and put in something else on a certain layer. So we can always add stuff, we can add captions, we can add whatever. So we're open to all sorts of offers on that. And we're also, you know, and indeed sponsored episodes or sort of, you know, episodes featuring certain locations or products. We'd certainly be open for all that.
I should have been able to think of that beforehand. Yeah, that'd be really interesting. I could see why, where, I'm just thinking of airlines, right? Virgin Airlines could easily decide that they would pay you guys money to sponsor their airline and they're in your cartoon, right? Because obviously, I know me, and perhaps I'm your abnormal fanboy, but if I knew that the brews were drunk, say, Dr. Pepper, I would be tempted to buy Dr. Pepper. If I knew that they liked the Arsenal soccer team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would be tempted to buy an Arsenal T-shirt, right?
Right.
If I knew, right? I mean, that's the kind of fanboy I am, at least. I know I've seen this in other true crime / mafia people, is that if they knew, well, here you go, I do this podcast, right? I've had different people on my different podcast. Someone for a gift sent me a chip from a casino chip from the Flamingo, right? The mobbed up hotel back in the day, right? I mean, knowing that knowing that if I had that opportunity, I for sure would stay, especially if it was open, and I got to Vegas, I would stay at the Flamingo in a heartbeat. I mean, that's the power you have with that type of fan engagement, which I think your great cartoon definitely has. Cool. Now, going back to college kids and stuff, if I want to get involved with animation especially, or my local, I'll get involved in the film business, what advice would you have?
Well, as I said earlier, I'm possibly quite brutal now, and I would often advise now that if you know what you want to do, and it's like a practical skill, like cameraman or editor or sound recordist or something like that, then yes, you definitely need a technical course that teaches you how to work the equipment, how to, you know how to focus, how to, you know, change the lenses, how to, an actual practical course. That's what you've got to go on. If you're just looking to work in TV, and it's a bit vague, I would almost now possibly advise not doing, such a sort of a general media course, because you may be disappointed, and then that's your qualification, and then what do you do with it? You might want to do a more traditional, course, like a language or a science or something. Because it is a bit vague now. You know, there are so many, certainly over here in the UK, there are so many versions of media courses, sort of media management, media planning, media this, media, social media courses, all that, all of which give you a degree and a qualification. But I'm not quite sure what in. As I said right at the top, I started out in journalism, and I'm always, always grateful that I did that. It was a great discipline. It taught me about deadlines. It taught me about, even the basics of, clearing my notebook or my desk before I pack up for the day, getting the work done, how to talk to people, how to go up to people face to face and ask questions and do all that. It was a real practical grounding, and it absolutely stood me in great stead for everything I've ended up doing in TV. To this day, it was a great thing, working quickly but accurately, hopefully. It was a great basis. And so maybe even that, if you're looking to go into writing of some sort, maybe doing some sort of journalism might be a good way to proceed. It's very difficult now to just sort of say I've got a media degree and expect to bowl up to wherever and get an A-star job. It's It is very difficult. It's a very crowded marketplace, and it's very difficult. Now, the other thing is, if you're looking to do, you know, making your own films, things like that, I would advise getting a bit of equipment, whether it's very basic equipment or even doing it on your phone now. You know, we know that Soderbergh makes his movies on iPhones now, incredibly. You know, you start doing stuff, teaching yourself how to edit it. There's all these apps and programs out there, video editor and such like, you can do, and even Photoshop and Adobe and all these things, or you can do on your desktop or even on your tablets, whatever, you know, and just have a go at it. Have a go at making something, editing it, and posting it, whether it's on YouTube or any of the other platforms. And in a way, that will start to act as like a showreel for you. And that's the other way to go, you know. So there's lots of routes to go. But I think it's a case of people getting a taste of that life, that work, and being sure it's what they want to do. I think you have to be so, you know, dedicated, keen to do it, that you will take all the rejection and all the setbacks, but keep at it and make your way. You know, that sounds very gloomy, but I think, unfortunately, it's the truth now. It's not just a stroll in and do a couple of weeks work experience, land a job, end up as a producer in 3 months. It just doesn't happen, unfortunately. I don't think you'd be a very lucky person if that happened.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't happen. You don't walk in on a set and they give you the best job going. It's a lot of hard work getting there. In my opinion, I 100% agree that the best way that you can get started if you're interested in some type of production work is find yourself your local indie film production and make a contact and say, I'm willing to help you sweep the floors. Because you know, once you get known as somebody who can show up and do the shit job and not complain, the opportunities will come your way. I mean, I stripped more than one floor, I emptied out more than one garbage can, but because I can do that stuff, you know, and I'm not a film person, I'm not, I mean, yeah, I was in a couple of films, one of them got distribution, right? But I'm never going to be an actor, I'm never going to be the guy that gets that big check and walk up on stage and get an Oscar. That's not going to happen at my age, right? But I did get to meet a lot of good people.
You never know.
Trust me. If Guy Ritchie calls me up, I'll work for next to nothing, right? I don't think that's going to happen. Let's be real. The idea is I have fun. I have contacts. I get to meet people like yourself. And you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, right? But you got to try different things. You know, that's the worst thing is you don't know. And again, it's perfectly okay to try different things and see what appeals to you. I mean, Christ, I did everything, if I may continue in my soapbox just for a second. I mean, I helped pass a law in the state of Wisconsin that brought film production here that employed people. And I did that as me, Joe Blow from Kokomo, right? I do a film festival where I get films from around the world, and I'm really grateful to be able to show your film there, right? My judges are going nuts over it.
You
know, they're absolutely going nuts over it. Yeah, I mean, these are things that happen when you go out and you say, hey, my name is Wayne. Can I help in some way? You know?
Yeah, it's a good phrase to use. You know, it's just making – it is all about contacts, actually. You're quite right about that. You know, it's and equally, the contacts you make may not pay off immediately. But what I find now as I get older and older is that people I've met a little way back, I kind of think, hey, you know, they used to work in that thing. I wonder if I could contact them again and see if they'd be interested in this thing or that thing. And it's just staying in touch with people and remembering what their line of work was and what they were looking for at the time and all that sort of business. And you kind of, as you say, you're quite right. You know, contacts will help. They really will help.
Yeah. And you get that by reaching out. That's why I like Twitter so much when it comes to social media. That's why I like Twitter so much is that you can reach out to people from around the world. I mean, I have people I call friends from England, such as yourself, I would hope, right? Mickey Goldthoo, I know I need to reach out to him some more. I'm not trying to contact him in some time, right? I got people in Hong Kong that I know, South America, You know, I've had the honor of interviewing people who've actually worked with not only law enforcement, but have interviewed real-life evil cartel people, right? Because I said, hi, my name is Wayne. I'm on Twitter. What's going on? You know, that doing that reach out helps a lot. But I'll get off my soapbox now.
It's not a soapbox. It's absolutely true.
No, I mean, so many people, and again, this has a little to do with crime, and this is more of a crime thing, or supposedly than anything else, but I think it's germane. If you are a crime writer, and I know many people on Twitter, because I have writers follow me, and I follow them, and a big piece of advice I'll give them as well is it's not easy. You have to try new things. You have to reach out and not say buy my book necessarily, but I'll say, can you please help me learn how to do this? Can you help me understand that? What's a good source for this information I'm looking for? You know, and be there to repay those favors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. Because the next time somebody sends me a DM who I do not know and tells me that I should buy their book, is I'm calling up the brews and we're going to go on a crime spree.
Okay. Fair enough. They'll be on the plane. Well, they have their own plane, obviously. They have their own plane. So as you see in the cartoon Parachute, they have their own plane now. They commandeered it from an associate, you know.
I'm sure he wouldn't give it up. I mean, who wouldn't? I know I would. And going back, that's the fun thing. I mean, who doesn't want to see? And this might be stretching a bit, but I would love the. I would find it hysterical to watch an organized crime group person say be harassed by Scientologist. No offense, Mitch. Oh, I will offend them. Some type of religious nut. I would love to have that situation seen on TV or in a cartoon. That'd be funnier than shit. Or being trying to be taken advantage of by people who do that for a living. Yeah, you can take advantage of the old woman with your snarky phone call and pretend they're a plumber, but what happens when you try to pull that with the rules? What happens when you try to pull that with a real life gangster? Not good things, I suspect.
What? Probably not, no. Luckily, so far, everyone that's watched it kind of gets the joke and... they realize it's not personal, as it were. But I hope no one would ever think it was personal. They are based on quite a few different people, and you know, with them in the back of our mind. But they're not based on anyone in particular at all. You know, they're just an amalgam of you know, sort of generic gangstery kind of, well, you know, UK gangster kind of characters. You know.
Right. I mean, that's the idea. Same thing as I call myself Mr. Big on Twitter sometimes, right? You fill in the blank, you know. Think of Tony Soprano in his 60s who's overweight. That's me, right?
Okay.
You know, it's a funny character. You know, this idea is I want to help people become, I'll use the word educated, at least more informed on different things going on in the world of crime. Than anything else. I want people, if I do nothing more with my Radio Free Mafia than with a guest, right, to get them to pick up a book about the subject I've talked about, I think I've done a really good job.
Well, that's it. You can only introduce people to new stuff, can't you?
That's right. And the thing is, we have to introduce them to new stuff. I mean, like you do with your cartoons. With what I hope we did with the show is have people understand how hard it is to do this show. Get some who might be more motivated to become a cartoonist to figure out, okay, what skills do I need? How do I get these skills? What can I do to prepare myself when that day comes? Or maybe somebody sees the cartoon and says, God, you know, they talked about the craze. Who were they? So they go to the library to get that book, or they go online and they watch that YouTube video or see that documentary.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good stuff. But you have to keep spreading the word.
Yeah. Now, I get a question because people will ask me. I know if I lived in England, I could get your stuff, right? Living in the United States, can I also get your bling or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You just go to thebruvs.com, and we've got an online shop there, and we've got all the all the prices are on there, and there's a little bit extra for postage to the States and other parts of the world, because it's a little bit further than just down the road. But no, it's all it's available worldwide, 24/7, you know, whenever you want it. And we've got some quite good stuff now. I mean, we're hoping to expand, but we're not overstretching ourselves at the moment. But we do T-shirts, we do sort of like hoodies, we do sweatshirts, we do mugs, we even do baby bibs, and we do do you know what a like a big cup, and we do what else do we do? We do animal vests as well, dog vests. So with our logo on it and the faces of the bras. So it's a lot of fun.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, I know my dog can look really hot with a dog vest, especially going to a dog show. I might give the judges motivation to make sure they win, right?
I'm sure. That's the thing. That's what the bras are all about. A little bit of intimidation never hurt anyone.
Right. I think we both are familiar with Monty Python, right? The sketch when
Absolutely.
The mafia people went to the army base. It's hilarious.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is the comedy element, entertaining people when it comes down to it. Entertainment and what you're trying to do out there is absolutely key. And I, for one, really, truly appreciate it.
We try to be as funny as we can. That's all you can do. It's
that's the thing you can
do. Absolutely. And luckily, you know, so far, a lot of people agree, you know, so I'm thrilled about that. You know, I wish we could make them quicker, you know, longer, whatever, but we can only do what we can do. And so far people have stuck with us, and it's really good. It's, you know, it's great. It's great to see the growth that we've had and how far we reach. You know, I mean, it's amazing, you know, just to think that you watch it where you are, and we've got people in Australia who watch it over there, and we've got people, you know, across Europe who watch it, all over the UK. It's just incredible, you know, the power of the internet now to reach all those places is incredible. You know, it's sort of almost mind-blowing, you know.
Yeah, it's only going to get more wilder as different technologies come on board, without a doubt. So when we get, because I know when I listen to shows, I often don't have that pen in my hand when I write down the information, so it's really great when they say it more than once. So, for the last time, sir, can we please get your location where we can find you online and where we can go and like and subscribe for your videos on YouTube?
Okay. Well, you can find all the links and all the information and contact details and everything at our website, which is thebruvs.com, and then all our other social media stuff is all at thebruvs.tv. And that's where we are.
Thank you so much. And if you're interested in getting my stuff, which you really should go and get my book, The Life and Times of Frank, whose last name I won't even try to pronounce, The Last Most Powerful Godfather in Milwaukee, you can do so at Amazon by simply entering my name, Wayne Klingman, in the Amazon search bar, and up, and lo and behold, Frank will appear. Buy a copy for yourself and buy a copy for your friend, and for friends' friends, and make more friends. Frank would really appreciate it. So that's about all the time that we have for today with you, sir. I really, really, really appreciate you coming on today. I really, really appreciate you talking about so many cool things. And hopefully when the show goes online, that you will go and let my wife out of the dungeon.
Oh, okay. We'll do that. Not a problem.
Okay. I do thank you for calling in this early this morning. Oh, actually, it's 6 hours, so late in the day for you. And I hope that you have some
yeah,
day
yeah,
left
sorry.
To go out there.
It's only my tea
right,
time. I'm nearly ready for my afternoon tea.
There you go. Been a long nap, I hope. All right, sir. With that, then you have the best of days, and hopefully we'll be engaged. Oh, if you want to, you should check out my film festival, the Indie Film Wisconsin Film Festival, where one of the Brew cartoons will be playing. I do believe it's going to be in the opening block on Friday, is what we have planned for it now. I hope you can attend. This would be the first weekend in May. Yay, go out. It's kind of a walk, but still, you can get here. Anyway, I do thank you for everybody. And with that, then, everybody out there, have a great day. It's been so enjoyable doing another show for you guys once again. Have a great day.
Thank you very
Bye.
Much. Thank you very much indeed, Wayne. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes. Bye.